Thank you. Give them a round of applause. I want to welcome our online family this morning. If you're watching today, I want to give you a warm welcome and hope that today becomes a day that you encounter the presence of Jesus in this place. It's not about the matter of geographical location. It's a matter of your heart. And so today, whether you're in person or online, my prayer today is that you will experience and encounter the very presence of Jesus in this place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, who has had a good week?
Yeah.
Good week? And who remembered my preaching last week? Okay. So what was the take home? Talk to me. What was something that you did that changed or practically changed your life this week?
Cast it, don't carry it.
You know, I did a bit of casting, but I also did a little bit of carrying. Now, I talked last week about walk, don't run. And really underlying all of that is I talked about anxiety, because more often than not, we tend to run ahead of our emotions, of our things that's coming in our brains and everything. But I want to say to you this morning that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? A sound mind. I pray in Jesus' name that you have a sound mind today, and that is what we're hoping for. Last week I shared about anxiety, and one of the antidotes that I failed to mention was not only about prayer but gratefulness, but also meaningful relationships and connections. I was talking to my daughter about what I'm talking about today, and she confirmed it, is that one of the things about anxiety, if you have an anxious personality or you feel anxious in some way, the last thing you want is some people doting over you, overwhelming you with questions. You just want to be left alone. But at the same time, this is the conundrum of it, is that you also want people to be around you. You also want people to love on you, to ask how you are. Because at the end of the day, we are people who are longing for belonging. We are longing for belonging. We want to feel known and we want to feel loved. We want to be able to be seen and heard. And so today I wanted to just talk about that and how relationships is important in our everyday life. As well as anxiety, there is loneliness. And it's an increasing epidemic. And it's something that, thanks to technology, it has given us a false sense of connection. And it's easy and addictive, I don't know if you can agree with me here, that to scroll through our phones and our feeds and look, and then at the end of the day, we look up and we're none better, like we're still anxious and we still feel lonely. We live in a world where communication has never been easier, but the more communication we got, the less connection we got. So our connection has become more complicated. We're often tempted to do life alone. So whatever the circumstance is, it's just hard. It's hard to let people in. It's hard to let people in your space, in your sphere, because for fear of judgment, for fear that you're going to be, judged and just cast out. So we end up living isolated. It's risky. It takes work. Who knows, relationship takes work. And we need it. If ever in any of the history, connection and relationship is what we need right now. Not anything here, but I'm talking about authentic relationships. I'm talking about meaningful connections. So today I'm calling you out to that. I'm calling each and every one of you today for meaningful connections, for meaningful relationships. And one of the things that I want to encourage to you today is that don't be lazy in your connections. Don't take things for granted that they're always going to be there, because one day they may not be there. And then you would want to know that the person that, you know, I'm not talking about just marriage, talking about friendships, that they would be there, but they're gone. So I want you to not be lazy in your connections today. So I'm talking about how we can build better relationships. We're going to start a series on that, and if you are taking notes, I have titled my sermon, It Takes Two. Now, there's some songs ruminating in my head about that, and I know people have had versions of song. I'm not going to sing it today, but it takes two. It takes two to make things work. It takes two to make things go round and round and round. But it takes two, but there's a power in the number two. Power in number two. So this message is not just about romantic relationships. If you are married, if you are single, if you are single again, if you're looking for love in the right places, then, you know, this is for you. Male, female, kids, whatever. This is for you, so don't shut off. This year, in 2022, as for me and my house, and I'm talking on behalf of our team here, that we want to be better. We want to have better relationships. We want to have better support systems. We want to have friendships that fit and not forced. We want to have connections that are committed and not born out of convenience. We want to be a church that's inclusive and not exclusive. We want to be better at community. We want to be better at our one anothering. You know, the Bible talks about all these one anothering. There's actually 58 of them in the New Testament. Go and find them and be better at our one anothering. Because you know what? We are better together. And people matter to God, and they should matter to us. Now, I'm not a relationship guru or an expert in any of these, but what I do like doing is taking theology and mixing it with therapy and fusing these two together to make it work, so I can give you some practical but biblical wisdom in the Word of God this morning. If you're writing a note, I want you to take this down. While we may not get to choose what we go through in life, we do get to choose who we go through life with. Now, my question for you this morning, who are you doing life with? Or are you a lone ranger? And I think sometimes this becomes the mental model of our world today, that somehow, because it's just too hard to be vulnerable, it's too hard to actually let people in because it's risky, we end up just living life alone. Living life alone because our immediate response is that nobody needs to know. It's none of anyone's business. Let's keep this a secret. And let's just get on with life. It is what it is. But can I encourage you today? We are not meant to live life alone. We are meant to live life in connection, in meaningful relationships. Who is your corner? So when I was thinking about how God would want me to communicate this to you today, I'm prompted to think about the relationship rules. There are relationship rules, and I want to ask you today, Is any of you, and if you're online today, are you a rule follower? What I mean by that is that is there certain rules that you follow that you don't deviate from? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of things personally in my life. Number one, there are rules for driving. Okay? Yeah. Now, I've been driving for quite some time, but it doesn't mean I'm good at it. There are people in my world that tells me that I'm a bad driver. I don't know if you've been, now this is not a confession thing, but that's their perspective and that's okay. People have their opinions, but I don't think I'm that bad. I may just when you park, you just go in that middle bit or whatever. And it's, you know, or I don't know, but I've been told that there are worse drivers than me. Anyway, diet. Now, there's rules about diet. Apparently, when you diet, you not only die, but there are certain times that you actually do not eat carbohydrates or chips or sweets or anything like that. I've just given up. Look, I just roll with it. This doesn't matter. Like, it is what it is. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be, like, unhealthy. It's just that I just got to watch what I put in my mouth. Okay, the third thing. There are rules for dating, right? I've been told when I was first became a Christian is that if you can't control yourself, then you should just get married. Because it's better to get married than to burn with passion. I mean, that's biblical, right? And I was thinking, oh man, this is just too hard. Now, there are things about also rules in board games. I don't know, I love board games. And I play them with my family. And sometimes it just gets the worst out of you. It's like there are rules that we just make up, like in Monopoly, right? You know how you go to jail? Well, it's not in the rule book, but actually we just made it up that you can pay $50 to get out of jail. And then whoever gets into free parking, whatever money's in the middle, you get that. Now, I don't think that's in the Monopoly thing, but anyway. So there are those rules that happen in life. Now, whether you're a rule follower or not, or whether you embrace rules, relationships have rules as well. Some are just obvious, and there's etiquette in rules. And I just want to say this to you. Now, I have to be careful what I say here, but now, if I text you, I would like an answer. Don't just ghost me because 99.95% I will answer you. But maybe there are just some things that either number one, I didn't receive your message, number two, there's delays, or number three, maybe I'm just like ticked off and I don't want to answer just in case I say something wrong. Okay, so there are some of the things that etiquettely in terms of texting rules or relationship stuff. Now, sometimes I pour my heart out in text messages and I get into trouble for that. And the thing is, my husband does this. I pour out my heart and then all he'll just say is, okay. And I go, come on, give me a little bit more love than that, man. Like, seriously. But, or like some people just do the emoji, and or some people just do like thumbs up. He's just looking at me thinking, don't be saying anything. And it's just like, yeah, I don't like that. But we're talking about relationships. How to be better, how can we be better at relationships? And it takes two. Now, let me show you in John, in the book of John, let's John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21, and let's just read that. Oh, sorry, there you go. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Now, I know this passage is all about the resurrection of Jesus, but I want to suggest that this passage has something to do with relationships, because a lot has happened in that, you know, Jesus has just been crucified and he died and all of the disciples have been scattered. And so they were hiding in this place, and it's suggested in other commentaries that they are in this room where they had the Last Supper with Jesus. We find the disciples in fear and back to the place where they started. Now, remember, these disciples are the men that were going to take the gospel into the whole world. And so, but right now in that chapter, you will see that they were huddled in locked doors because they were afraid. And so in this moment, they needed each other. They needed to be together, because what was the common ground? They all saw the fact that their Lord, their Savior, their friend has been crucified and now is dead. And so they wanted to be together, and maybe for comfort. So let me tell you that you are not meant, as much as the disciples are too, we're not meant to go through life alone. And I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about friendships and relationships. You were not meant to live in isolation, even though that's encouraged, especially in the times that we're living in. You can be in isolation, but not isolate yourself. You were meant to have meaningful relationships and connections with each other. But however, your connection to others can only be as stable as your connection to Christ. So what I want to ask you this morning is, how is your connection? Now, when we talk about connection, I'm not talking about your Wi-Fi signal. And sometimes we are more concerned about the signals in our phone, whether it's 1 bar, 2 bars, 3 bars, 4, it's 5G, 4G, 3G, whatever it is, than what's our soul's connection. We are made to experience relationships not just with others, but also with God. So first and foremost, it all starts with our connection with Christ. We are designed for God, by God, for connection. We were designed by God for His enjoyment. He wants to walk with us, talk with us, sit with us, eat with us, you know, help us in our daily life, and not just be a part, but be in charge in our daily living. He created us to have meaningful relationship with Him. He wants to guide us in this life. Now, Matthew, the book of Matthew, and it's not on the screen, Jesus called these disciples. They're four fishermen to be His disciples. They also happen to be two pairs. Now, we're talking about it takes two, right? So He called Andrew and Peter, James and John, and we pick up later on Philip and Nathaniel, who also lived in Galilee. But halfway through the book of Matthew, we will find that Jesus has picked His 12 disciples, and it's all listed in there. Now, this man came with different jobs, different backgrounds. They weren't selected because of their age or their capabilities or their skills, but they had one thing in common. They want to follow Jesus. Now, so for 3 years, this man sat under Jesus' teachings, and they watched miracles after miracles. And each of them had a sense of deep connections and longing and a personal relationship with God. And then the world comes crashing down because Jesus has, you know, gone. And they thought, they're so devastated. But their ministry was just getting started. Can I suggest to you today that sometimes the very reason why relationships get draining, disappointing, and also difficult to us because we are trying to connect to others before connecting with Christ. Vertical first, then horizontal. And what is that? I'm not the Pope, but what is that then, you know, state is that? It's a cross. We've got to put our relationships at the foot of the cross. We cannot just go nearby every day thinking, okay, that's fine, and not acknowledge Jesus at the center of our relationships. Now, rarely will you find that someone has been asked to serve God alone in the Bible. Like, think about it. Moses had Aaron, David had Jonathan, Paul had Silas, even Jesus had the 12. Now, who is your other? Who is your and? Who is your number two? You know, there is always a period of time where God would draw us out alone. For example, Moses spent 40 days in Mount Sinai while he received the Ten Commandments. David was a shepherd and he was alone, away from his family. Even Jesus spent 40 days in the desert after being baptized. Why? Because while you are not meant to go through life alone, there will be a period in your time and in your life where God's going to call you out of solitude. For solitude. Because God wants to help you realize that He is your source. Now connect with Christ. That is your foundation to have better relationships. Everything pivots from there. Now to have better relationships, the second thing I want to talk about with you is connection with others. Our church is not defined by a Sunday meeting.
Yeah.
But about meaningful relationships and connections. Even in the beginning, we see in Genesis 2:18, it says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper as his partner." So God created another person for comfort, for companionships, to communicate with, for connections. But let me tell you this, whenever you enter into any relationships, we will bring our own dysfunction into that equation. No doubt about it. You'll always have that because we are different people. Now, to build better relationships, choose what you magnify. I don't have a magnifying glass, even though I want to just show you that you can magnify. You will always see what you're looking for. You will always see what you're looking for. Now, Pastor Tony, in some of his sermons, I remember, he carried a log. He carried a log on stage, and he was like, it's huge. And he was like just, you know, swinging it around and everything like that. And it's an example of that you can't concentrate the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own eye. Don't be a loghead, like just I heard that. So you always find what you're looking for. And a lot of people nowadays fear intimacy because it's all about into me you see. That's what intimacy is. Into me you see. It would mean that I have to be vulnerable. It would mean that I'm not talking about airing your dirty laundry. I'm not even saying that or putting it on Facebook or anything like that. But it's that meaningful connection that we're talking about. It's shared burden. It's shared communication. And so can we be people that will magnify the positive, not the negative? And people today are craving for authentic relationships, yet we all wear a mask. Pardon the pun. It's the way to protect ourselves from pain, isn't it? But if you want to grow and be better at building better relationships and get closer with the people who are in your life, then you are going to have to take off your mask. The thing about masks is they eventually fall off. Truthfulness in relationships are important. It's about being real and not being perfect. It's about being honest with yourself. You know, the Bible says in Paul, he encourages us to take off the old self and put on your new self. And once you are and have been truthful with yourself, then you can be truthful with others. Now, this is a big thing about being better at our relationships this year. And the thing is offense. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid. Say, get rid. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, this is the encouragement for us, or instruction, is that be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You can't build better relationships if you have offense in your heart. Offense is an event. Offended is a choice. Now, relationships is the quote. Relationships are designed to grind and bring forth the issues in your life that needs to be healed. Now, all of us are broken in some way, shape or form. And there are people in our world that will rub us up the wrong way. And we can either choose to be offended, or we can either choose to bring that to God and say, is there anything in me that I need to address? We all need that. I need that. There are things in my life that only people that I trust will be able to talk to me about those things. And that is why relationships is very important. Proverbs 27 verse 6, it says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. If you are irritated by every rub, then how can you be polished? If you are the type of person that will just agree and pacify just to keep the peace, then you will start a war inside yourself. The reason it's so hard for us to stay happy, because it's so easy for us to get offended. If you want to make life happy and stay happy, then make it harder for us to get offended. You see, the enemy's agenda is to destroy your relationships, your divine connections, your divine relationships. His strategy is division. His tactic is offense. The closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity for intimacy. The closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity for offense. That's why nobody can make you really mad like somebody that you really love. And this is the thing. God takes the two and makes them one, but the devil takes the one and makes them two. How does he do it? One offense at a time. It takes one to forgive, but it takes two to reconcile. I learned that in life, we transfer not what we say, but we transfer who we are. Relationships and friendships and connections is not just for women, because they like to talk. Who likes to talk? But we all need it. Whether you've consumed your 5,000 words or 25,000 words, men and women want to be connected. So I'm calling each and every one of you out today to make sure this year establish, not just do a maintenance thing, but establish and be creative in your connection. Because friendships are formed, not found. We are meant to do life with people, real people, not just people on a screen where you type comments. I don't want to have a friend, right? I don't want to have any relationship where they just click and comment. I don't want that. I'm sure you don't want either, but I want face-to-face contact. Now, sometimes it might not be, that might be difficult, but there are some things that we can do to create that. When you get connected with the right people, your faith grows. Faith grows in connection. And I can't help but think about all the people right now in the whole world that the people of God are scattered. Yeah. They're scattered right now. It's a scary time in our world. Yeah. And in social media, that just feeds it. But the number one tool that the enemy has on us right now is isolation. He wants to keep you from the place where your faith grows. Sometimes he'll just say, don't worry about going to church, it's online anyway. Yeah. He wants to keep you from connecting with people, building with people who has the same journey as you. Hebrews 10, 23, 25, and this is my last scripture today. I know you've heard this scripture many a times, but I want to read it again. So now, wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us. What is the hope that lives within us? It's Jesus. Knowing what God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. I know that it's difficult to gather at times, but we should never neglect the gathering of the saints, the gathering of the people. I know you get busy. I know things come up. I know things happen and you get sick. I'm not talking about that. But if you are lazy in your connections, more likely then you will be lazy toward God. I can't tell you how many times I've stood there and I don't want to go to church. When there's things going on in my family life or whatever, I don't want to go. But as soon as that tune, that melody, that the creative team comes up and people around me are singing, yeah, raising their voice, raising hallelujah in the midst of the storm, your spirit starts to lift.
Yeah.
Don't you experience that? Your spirit starts to lift because there is a great, there's great power in connecting not only with others, but with God. So we got to start connecting to Christ. That is our foundation. And this is just one of the things that I know there's only 2 points and we're going to have a series on this about building better relationships. But it starts with Christ. Before you can do anything else, it starts with Him. It starts to focus on Him. And I wonder today where you are at in Him. Where you are at in Him. All of these things that I've talked about, the things that are in the instructions that God is giving us, you can't do this if you're not right here, because you're only going to give of your flesh, of yourself. You know, church is not an event you attend, but it's a family you belong to. Yeah. It's a relationship you're connected with. It's a group that you're a part of. Yeah. And so when I talk to about this connection, I know you'll hear me harping about this all the time, but connect groups. If you're not in a connect group this year, then purpose to be in one.
Yeah.
You can't live just go by in life and not being connected with others. What happens when you take a fish out of water? They die. What happens if you take a branch that's fully planted and, you know, you cut it? They will eventually die. Straight away. Like in life, when you neglect something, it doesn't happen straight away, but it will happen. You know, it's all of that. Connect groups, guys. You will see us in the next couple of weeks trying to strategize, trying to formalize about all these things, because we want you to be connected. Don't say you don't feel connected because and not feel connected, but you're not in a connect group. That's just oxymoron. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? You need to be connected in the family of God. And so I encourage you, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing connect groups. It's going to start in February. And I want you to sign up and do something about that that will make you a better person and a better at connecting. Why don't we all stand? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that's sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, I thank you that this word, may it be planted in our hearts today. And Lord God, may it pierce our soul so that, Lord, we can do something about the things that you have instructed us to do. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here right now, right at this moment, who are not fully connected with you, I pray in Jesus' name that they will come to a realization that the only way they can live life with others is through you. So right now, while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. If you are not right with God, you can't live properly with others. If you're online this morning, you're online and you want to say yes to Jesus, I want you to comment yes, and the team will get straight onto that and pray with you, pray for you, and follow up on what you need. This is the most important decision that you will make as we head on and moving life forward. This is the third week of January. Yeah. Don't say that you are right with God when really you are not. Don't kid yourself. Let's do something that will make us better people this year. So while every head is bowed, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. If you are in person and you want to make your relationship better with God, or you want to be right with God, I want you to put your hand up right now. While nobody's looking around, it's only me, and I'm going to pray for you. This is not about condemning. This is not about judging. This is not about making you feel guilty or shamed. But this is about an opportunity for you to experience and to encounter the living and breathing and mighty presence of God. So if that is you today, why don't you stick your hand right now and I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will stir the hearts of people this morning, online, in person, Father, wherever they're at. And if at this moment you are knocking at the doors of their heart and they're not responding at this time, I pray that during the week you will bring to remembrance this very word, that they need to be connected with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just sing and lean into God and lean into His presence and sing that hallelujah thing. Your healing power to just flow through them right now, right this minute, and let your presence permeate each and every corner of their body, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for this week. Thank you for your word. Protect your people, and God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget that Connect group is going to start in a couple weeks, but also we have hospitality there for you. Obviously, you do what you need to do, and also our food co-op is open for if you have some groceries that you want to do. But God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. Amen.